The word apostolic, I may have said something about it last time in passing. If you don't salivate, if you don't drool, something is amiss. This word needs to be restored to its original pristine meaning, or else we have had it, or else we condemn ourselves to being merely charismatic, and God's jealousy over you is for much more than that. So the Greek word apostolos means sent, and that's the word that the scriptures use for Moses in the Old Testament, because the anatomy of this, the nub of it, the genius of it, is consistent and the same throughout all the dispensations of God. Moses was apostolic. The word is not used, it's a Greek word. But everything that he was, and the whole origin, and his sending, his calling, lays bare the heart of what it means to be sent, what it means to be apostolic. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So evidently one of the components of being apostolic is a certain dimension of rejection, even from those whom you're called to deliver. It's part of the paradox of the faith, and one that we need to expect and to bear. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, or New York City, or Asia, or the world over. And I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Then Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge? The same did God send. You underline every time you see the word send. The same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush, and he brought them out. Will not be sent except we can communicate in going something of the sense of God as he in fact is. Not what we think him to be, not the little patsy that we have made him in our image to do our bidding, but God as he awesomely is and demands to be made known. There'll be no bringing out of Egypt. There'll be no deliverance out of bondage except those who can come to men out of the presence of God and communicate that God as he has chosen to reveal himself, the God of the consuming fire in the bush that burns but is not consumed. Now we need to note where that bush is located, because it's in the same place still. It's on the Mount of God on the backside of the desert. And I want to say that you're disqualified from this encounter with God and the sending that comes from the meeting of him there if you're not to be found in that place. That you'll receive invitations, and they are already coming, to draw you to the front side, to the side where prestige and esteem and honor of men and acknowledgement by men, even religious men, is to be found. It's very seductive. It's very powerful. And unless you're alerted, and I think that's part of the purpose that God is speaking today, you'll find yourself invariably drawn to the wrong side where the Mount of God is not to be found. But I am jealous, and God is jealous, for the place to which he has called you. Because except you're sent from that place, there'll be no deliverance for those who are presently in Egypt and who are building treasure cities out of brick made without straw and are every day under the bondage of a taskmaster who cracks his whip, but of such a kind that they do not even know that they are enslaved. I'm talking about the countless millions who labor, who sweat, who strive, who are on the subways, going to schools, seeking careers, wanting to make it, don't even know that they're working for a pitiless Pharaoh who has no redemptive intention for them but to chew them up and to spit them out as merchandise. Someone needs to come to them who is free from the power of that and has no striving in himself, even spiritually, and is sent of God out of the presence of God to deliver the captives, not only to bring them out, but to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. And we can't offer freedom or deliverance beyond what we ourselves experience and know. And if a 40-year stint in the wilderness was the preliminary requirement for a Moses, what shall it be for us? That's a painful emptying, and it can only be performed on the backside of the desert. What a grubby place. What a mean and inhospitable place. What a thing that offers nothing voluptuous to our eyes to see or to enjoy. It is barren. But Moses was faithful in that place to tend the flock of God on the backside of the desert. And I somehow think, however unappetizing to the eye, and however lustrous the front side is, and beguiling and inviting, that the nutriment that comes from those barren patches where the shepherd of God will lead his flock has more to do with preparing God's people for the last day's eventualities than the glib, facile, cheap, and glitzy stuff that is to be found on the front side of the religious dimension. For every force and every power wants to seduce and wants to draw them to the place of acknowledgement and the honor of men and being one of the boys for the success of this remarkable movement that has developed in New York. It's going to take heroic constraint and restraint to keep yourself from that seduction and to keep on the backside of the desert, obscure, unknown, unseen, unheralded, and unpromoted, if you're going to find and be found by the God who called Moses and seeks to call you. For except there be a calling, there's not ascending. And except that we be sent, what are we and what have we and what power and what authority? For when Moses heard his name being called, Moses, Moses, he answered in a truly apostolic way. He said, Hineni, Hebrew for, here am I. How many of us have said that to God? Lock, stock, and barrel. No strings attached, no questions, no, well, what is this going to mean if I go? What is it going to mean if I go to Minnesota? What's the weather there like? And what assurance do I have? And what security? And the only thing you know is you're being called by name by the God who sends, and no other detail is required, and if you're truly apostolic, needs to be asked. You don't need to know in advance, because the God who calls you says, I will be with you. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Notice where Moses is being sent. Not to a peripheral Egyptian of the kind that he picked off before and left laying in the sand. He's going now to where the action really is. Dum, da, dum, dum. I will send you to the Pharaoh. I'll send you right to the headquarters of Satan himself. I'll send you right into the pit and the grip of the powers of very darkness that have held men enslaved in bondage since time immemorial. No more playing around at the periphery. No more touching the secondary issues. I'm sending you to the heart of the matter. It's time, saints. I'll send you right into the pit and the grip of the powers of very darkness that have held men enslaved in bondage since time immemorial. It's time, saints. It's time, saints. We can also be drawn off to do good things. And there's a multitude of good things that need to be done and needs that need to be touched and ethnic groups that need to be met. But ascending is to the heart of the matter and not to the secondary causes. In fact, God does not allow Moses to move on the basis of the distress of the people Israel. I have heard their cries. I have seen their affliction, not you. You don't go on the basis of your schmaltzy sentiment. You don't go because of your identification with your people as a Jew. You go for one reason only, because I have sent you. I spent 2 years at a seminary, and I saw all the bleeding hearts, all the upper middle class students whose hearts were so grieved for the conditions in Latin America and poverty, and they were just shredded by this cause and that cause. They were just coming apart at the seams in blubber and profuse tears until they were worth nothing. Until they were worth nothing. Listen, dear saints, the ultimate trap of the last days is to draw us off to act in response to need.
What's wrong with that, Art?
What's wrong with that is that the good thing keeps you from the perfect. And there are needs everywhere, and to which of them shall you attend? That's the difference between went and sent. You see, shouldn't we be doing something? All those needs out there, crying out for attention, shouldn't we be doing something? Because we're guilt-ridden, or our consciences bother us, and we should be doing something, is one of the most powerful temptations that will distract you from the perfect will of God. Except that itch to do, and to be seen doing, and to be recognized for doing, has been burned out and has died out in 40 years in the wilderness place. There wasn't much left of Moses by the time that God appeared to him in the burning bush.
You say, how do you know that, Art?
Because when God calls Moses, Moses says, who am I that you should send me? You want to know what the qualification is for apostolic sending? That. Who am I that you should send me? Who am I that you should send me? Who am I? And you know what? God doesn't argue with him and say, now don't take that negative attitude. You've got wonderful qualifications. He agrees with him. Because I want to say this, saints, however impressive our human and religious qualifications is, none of them are equal to the task to which we are being sent. Who is sufficient for these things? New York City, the Babylon, the heart of Antichrist spirit that makes merchandise of men, and you're going to deliver the captives and bring them out and into a land flowing with milk and honey? Who is sufficient for these things except the God who will be with you? That's what makes apostolic apostolic. Beware of false apostles who say all kinds of clever and right things and can quote Paul and have a wonderful facility for problem solving and putting together franchises and all the other kinds of things. But look for the man who's come out of God's presence, who's been burned out not in his carnality, not in his sinfulness. I mean, that's long taken care of. But even in his well-meaning intentions for God. That's the last thing that must go. And that is the most formidable thing that keeps us from the true apprehension of God and his sending. What we are going to do for him. Who am I that you should send me? He spoke to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. This was the critical point. And I ask you to ponder that. Why did God wait to see if Moses would turn aside to see the bush? And I want to say that that turning aside is not just a little act of curiosity. It's a deep apostolic jealousy for truth, for ultimate meaning, no matter what its cost or what the pain is required to obtain it. Our generation is a bunch of superficial flakies that have not examined the burning bush of its own time. The thing that God saw that allowed him to call Moses to an apostolic commission was that when a man turns aside to see something of an unusual kind that has fearful implications once you begin to examine it, there's no assurance you'll ever turn back again to where you were before. All of your charismatic understanding might go up like a puff. All that you thought God was and what you understood about the church and how we ought to proceed will never again be seen that way. There's something in that radical wrench of turning out of the orbit of the conventional and even correct ways that we have seen things that waits to be seen afresh in the fire of God that will forever change you. Are you willing for that? The world is dying, saints. Can you understand that? Dying because of its superficiality. Dying because of its unexamined life. Dying because it doesn't ask ultimate questions about life and its meaning. It's content to plod along and to go on from day to day to feed the gut and to have their sex experience and to make the payments on the car and perish and perish and perish. The world is living in a lie. The world is living in a lie. No one is bothering to inform mankind that there's an issue of eternity waiting to be decided in this life. The life itself, the mere perpetuation, the feeding, the getting by, is the justification in itself. It's a lie and it's death. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie and it's death, and it's death, and it's death. A lot of us have not failed because we have not ventured. Our lives are predictable and safe. We're pew occupiers, and we love the anonymity and the obscurity of being lost in the great congregation. What do we think that church is? A succession of good services or a place of suffering before its glory? We need to be rid of our romantic idealizations of what the church is or what God's men are who are of faith and power. That's an illusion. It's not a reality. It's not your feet on the ground. How can you deliver captives when you yourself are captivated by notions that are idealizations of romantic notions that are not true? You've got to fail. And failure is the consequence of venturing for God, even at your best and well-meaning intention. But out of that is ignited the circumstances by which the wilderness experience, the Lord in the burning bush, the call and the sending. I believe it's a pattern. This is not just an historic episode. It's that perfectly, but it's more. It's a picture of the anatomy of the sending of God in every generation, and especially at the last. That the man who was content to just slay an Egyptian is now sent to the Pharaoh, where the real and the ultimate issue is to be met in the power of God who sends, because I will be with you. Will you remember that when you're standing before Pharaoh? And you're feeling as frail and as weak as you in fact are? that the God who sends you is also in you, and it's in his authority that you stand before Pharaoh and not some drummed up charismatic thing of your own. You were emptied of your own that you might be filled with the life of him who sends, the high priest and the apostle himself of our confession.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord.
There's fire coming, saints, and it's coming on the earth already. The preliminary judgments of God to begin to turn the attention of men to a God whom they have not turned aside to see, and for which every sin and consequence of a broken mankind and a dying earth is the result. There needs to be someone coming to them out of the presence of God to explain and to give an understanding of what the fire means before it becomes not preliminary but final. The final judgment in which the earth itself will melt with a fervent heat. Knowing the terror of God, Paul says, I persuade men. But he persuades them not out of his religious ability or his Jewish credentials, but out of the life, the power, and the authority of the God who sends those men who know that they know that they know, who am I that you should send me? God is jealous for you this morning, saints, for the thing that is ultimate. Confront the Pharaoh. Will you choose to be found on the backside? Will you choose obscurity? Will you choose to remain unknown, unheralded, and unsung? Will you give God his full 40-year opportunity to divest you of the subtlety of your own religious ambition and well-meaning intention to do for him? That there's nothing left but a man who will say, whatever I am, and I'm not much, here am I. Who am I that you should send me? But I am jealous, and God is jealous, for the place to which he has called you. Because except you're sent from that place, there'll be no deliverance for those who are presently in Egypt and who are building treasure cities out of brick, made without straw, and are every day under the bondage of a taskmaster who cracks his whip, but of such a kind that they do not even know that they are enslaved. I'm talking about the countless millions who labor, who sweat, who strive, who are on the subways, going to schools, seeking careers, wanting to make it, don't even know that they're working for a pitiless Pharaoh who has no redemptive intention for them but to chew them up and to spit them out as merchandise. Someone needs to come to them who is free from the power of that and has no striving in himself, even spiritually, and is sent of God out of the presence of God to deliver the captives. God is jealous for you this morning, saints. Confront the Pharaoh. Confront the Pharaoh. God is jealous for you this morning, saints, for the thing that is ultimate. Confront the Pharaoh. Confront the Pharaoh.